respect to the Kaddish. Okay, back to yesterday we're learning about Kaparis. Just one last thing about Kaparis. Okay, so how do you do... Okay, let's say you're doing Kaparis with chickens. So, you take the chickens, you say B'nai Adam, that whole paragraph, and then you put it three times around your head as you say Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh Tumasi, Zeh Kaparasi, or Zeh Chalifasi, Zeh if it's female. And then you do that whole procedure three times. So basically, you're putting it around the head nine times. Three times by each time, but you do each one three times. And again, we said yesterday that the main thing of Kaparis, really halachically, is the Shechita. And therefore, if the Shechita was done correctly, even though you find something treif inside the animal, it's still a good Kaparis, you don't have to do it again. But if the Shechita was invalid, because for whatever reason, it didn't come out to be a good Shechita, so then you have to do Kaparis again. No, because the shechita is that you should... Well, what do we say? That this chicken is going to go to death and I should go to a good life. So the main thing is that the... But it says a person shouldn't think, Matafraim brings down, a person shouldn't think that, okay, I can sin and Kaparis will forgive all my sins and then I'm done. It's not true. But it says in Halacha, really, Matafraim brings this down, what you've really been doing to the chicken... should be done to us for sinning. Hashem is kind. He says, okay, I'll transfer the death of the person to the animal and the chicken. Okay, next in Shach... What? What? Chicken? Yeah. Unless if you benefit from it. In other words, there's two aspects in elevating things. There's an aspect you can elevate it by eating it, or you can elevate it by benefiting from it. I mean, things that are not edible, you can benefit a different way. This piece of whatever it is, plastic tables, right? So that plastic, by being used for a table to learn and to daven, so it becomes elevated. What's interesting, though, is... And it's interesting because Chassidus doesn't talk too much about it, even though it's a seemingly very obvious thing. You have certain, for instance, certain things are forbidden to eat, but you could benefit from it. Like pig, you can't eat, but you're allowed to have a pigskin football, pigskin belt, pants. I mean, you could use pigskin. Meat and milk, let's say, is not only forbidden to eat, it's also about no, you can't even benefit from it. So chametz, let's say on Pesach, is also not only an allah to eat chametz, the Gemara says you're not allowed to benefit from chametz. So the question is like this. That means technically, a pig could be elevated by a Jew, but not by eating. In other words, if a Jew makes, let's say, a football, which is called a pigskin for those people that don't know. So, and with this football, you play with kids, let's say, and you bring them closer to Yiddishkeit because of that. Okay? So that football became elevated. If somebody plays sports to be healthy, not to worship their body, but to be healthy, so then that pigskin became elevated, even though you couldn't elevate it by eating it. But things that are forbidden to benefit from, let's say milchiks and fleishiks, then meat and milk together, then you can't even benefit from it, which means you don't even have the ability to elevate it through benefit. Which is interesting because pig is shalosh klipas hatameis, the three complete levels of impurity. Meat and milk is three levels of impurity, complete levels of impurity. And yet this could be elevated through benefit, and this can't be elevated through benefit. So the answer, but so is it, if it's shalosh klipas hatameis, like, why is this forbidden only to eat and this is also forbidden to benefit from? So the answer is, how much the shalosh klipas hatameis permeate the object? Sometimes it permeates the essence of the object to such an extent that you can't even elevate it. Sometimes the evil, the shalosh klipas hatameis, permeate only the eating aspect of it, not the benefiting it, meaning not to the essence of it, just to the eating aspect of it. So then you would be able to elevate it.
Now for the big, if you can benefit from it,
you could.
When do you draw the line? Can you trade?
That's a separate thing. You're not allowed to deal with. You're not allowed to deal in business with non-kosher objects.
Like an idol, for instance, it can't even benefit from, right?
Yeah.
You said a jeweler could sell crosses.
Because it's not a cross. That's jewelry was not worshipped. The difference between a cross that's in a church that people bow to, or it's something they wear around their neck that nobody's bowing to it. So that's the difference. Okay, next. Coming to Shachris, Erev Yom Kippur. By Shachris, we don't say Mizmor L'Seida. Now, by the way, coming back even to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah, like this year's Friday, right? Next, a week from tomorrow, is no Tachnun Erev Rosh Hashanah. But the Mincha before Erev Rosh Hashanah, there is Tachnun. The same thing, Erev Yom Kippur, there is no Tachnun. But the Mincha before Erev Yom Kippur, there is Tachnun. But in the morning, we don't say Tachnun, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, we don't say Mizmor L'Seida, we say after Baruch Shamar, right after Baruch Shamar. And the reason for this, we learned already by Pesach, the reason why we say Mizmor L'Seida, because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, what we do now for benching Gomel, you know, the four things, traveling sea, traveling desert, prisoners, or somebody who is sick and got out of it, so they have to bench Goyimol. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they have to bring a Korban Taidah, a Thanksgiving offering. Now, the din is a Thanksgiving offering had to be eaten for a day and a night, like we say before Haidu in Karbanis. Now, because Erev Yom Kippur, you're allowed to eat, but the night of Yom Kippur, you can't eat. So therefore, any Korban that you were not able to eat it for the allotted period of time, you weren't allowed to bring it that day. And because the allotted time for Korban Taida is the day and the night, and Yom Kippur night you can't eat, so therefore, Erev Yom Kippur, they didn't bring the Korban Taida. Just so we don't say it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because Shabbos and Yom Tov, you can't bring a Korban Taida either, because it's a personal Korban you can't bring on Shabbos. Basically, you don't, because the bread together with the Korban Taida had chometz in it, and you couldn't bring it. Okay, so Shachris is really a short Shachris. It's brought down. The story is told that the Friedrich Rebbe once, Erev Yom Kippur, was davening very, very long. And his father called him in later, and the Rebbe of Shabbat called him in and admonished him. And he said, Erev Yom Kippur, everything got to be done quick. I mean, that means you have to say the words and daven, but you don't daven slow. Erev Yom Kippur, you daven quickly. After Shachris, or during the day sometime.
The reason is because
you're, there's a lot of business. Not because you have a lot of things to...
Huh? You're busy for prayer?
Trust me, Erev Sukkah's people are busier than Erev Yom Kippur.
So, no.
Because Erev Yom Kippur, the Avedis to move things. Okay, you give out Lekach. In shuls, the Gabbai does it, the Rabbi does it, whatever it is. You give out Lekach after Shachris in a way that people should ask for it. Tani cake, basically. You ask for it, and the person gives. And the wish, Rabbeim used to be, wish Shana Tovah Masuka. You have to have a good sweet here. What's the, what?
Erev Yom Kippur.
What's the origin of the custom? Why do we, not only that, the custom is Mevakshim Lekach. It's not that somebody gives them out. You're supposed to come to the person and say, can I have lekach? Or get lekach, whatever language you speak. Why is that? Because in case it was decreed in heaven, God forbid, that somebody would have to beg this year, because they're not going to make a living. So they should fulfill that decree of begging now, Erev Yom Kippur, by begging for lekach. And then you wish the person, Shana Tovah Masukah. And the minig is that you eat from the lekach. Okay? The Rebbe used to give out lekach, long lines. And then it got so long, the Rebbe started giving it out a few days before Yom Kippur. Mamish, the lines were impossible there of Yom Kippur. In fact, I remember once, I don't know if I was married yet, or still a bachur, I was standing in line Erev Yom Kippur to get lakach from the Rebbe. And the line, then it wasn't so bad. When I was there, it wasn't so bad yet. But the line went all the way from 770 to Brooklyn Avenue. So standing on Brooklyn and Eastern Parkway. In line, waiting. So all of a sudden, Reb Zusha Volomovsky, the partisan, he was called. Very special chassid. And he came, he was standing there next to me. So one of the Israelis, an Israeli guy from Kfar Chabad, and one of the Israeli guys went over to him and said, Reb Zusha, a guy like you should go straight to the head of the line. Why are you standing in line with all the peasants, so to speak? I'll never forget what he said. He stood straight, and he says, Mitzvah Sayyim, Shtein and Shura. Mitzvah the day is standing in line. Standing in line for Lekka. It's a very interesting thing. There was a big chassid from Eretz Yisrael. He used to give the Rebbe the first Sefer Torah called Nidri. The Rebbe had a little Sefer Torah. And the Rebbe would buy it. There's a big box, the Shmaro Gerari from Eretz Yisrael. And he would come every year and give the Rebbe a Sefer Torah for Kol Nidre. The last year the Rebbe, you get a bracha, the last year the Rebbe didn't give him a bracha. Anyway, right before Kol Nidre, in 770, the Pshul is packed. The Rebbe came down already for Kol Nidre. And he had a heart attack or fainted. And right away Hatzolah came and this. Basically, he died. Mamish, in front of the Rebbe, this the Shmuel Gerari from Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, very interesting. The Rebbe said that the Rabbanim should paskin, he's not dead yet until all the Kohanim get out. Because if he's dead, the Kohanim can be in the room. So the Rebbe said the Rabbanim should paskin, not paskin that he's dead, or the doctor shouldn't say he's dead until the Kohanim get out. Anyway, so the Zusha Volomovsky said, he was there that year. He said, Vashmero Gerari, he said Yiddish, Vashmero Gerari, he has to die in 770. You know, but for me, in the courtyard of 770 is also good to die. And a few years later, he died outside 770 in the courtyard. It's a very remarkable story. Huh? Yeah, but that's the courtyard. No, it was in the sukkah. No, that's the... But it was interesting. And it's he said, mitzvah sayyim, the mitzvah of the day is to stand in line. He didn't say what he said. He said, "Not learning."
I just want to understand
the anybody was born in 770?
In 770, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I doubt it, but I don't know. Definitely not downstairs in the show. I don't know. Huh? Yeah, it was. In fact, today is 80 years since 770 was moved into. The whole thing, 80 years today. From the time that Friedrich Rebbe moved into 770, it was Chafala Fellow, 80 years ago. Huh? Friedrich Rebbe, yeah, I'm saying Friedrich Rebbe. Okay, next is it to mitzvah to eat and drink a lot an Erev Yom Kippur? Like 2 days worth. And if you eat and drink on the ninth, Hashem considers it as if you fasted on 2 days.
I never understood that concept. Every year it said that.
I'll explain it. It's very simple. There's a contradiction in the Psukim. One Pasuk says, B'tisha l'chedish b'erev me'erev v'erev tish b'su shabbatchem. One Pasuk says, on the ninth of Tishrei, from evening to evening you fast. Another pasuk says, on the 10th of Tishrei you fast. So one pasuk says you fast on the 9th, one pasuk says you fast on the 10th. Which one is it? So the Gemara answers, no, what Hashem is saying is, you're supposed to eat on the 9th, and by eating on the 9th, Hashem will consider it as if you fasted also on the 9th. Now what does that mean? You can understand if there's a mitzvah to eat or a mitzvah to fast, which is a harder mitzvah, the mitzvah to fast, right? It's much harder than the mitzvah to eat. So therefore, you get reward by eating Erev Yom Kippur as if you fasted Erev Yom Kippur also. So Hashem wants us to fast basically 24 hours. One is by eating and one by fasting. Thank you.